What is going on online? What are our kids seeing? It's a question we're all asking. And the Institute for Strategic Dialogue put work into this, looking at YouTube's recommendation algorithm. They created 8 U.S.-based YouTube accounts registered with varying ages, genders, and interests, and then analyzed that algorithm for a month. Aoife Gallagher joins us now. She's the author of the report from the Institute for Strategic Dialogue. Good morning, Aoife. We are very interested in this. I have a young daughter who's going to be growing up in this world. What did you find when you did this, these studies and put these accounts out there?
Yeah, I mean, this report looks at the recommendation algorithm in throughout 4 different kinds of investigations. But I think the most prominent findings that we found were when we looked at accounts that were set up for teenagers, right, in particular. And I think what came out of this really is that YouTube are failing to safeguard a lot of its young users. So for one of the investigations that we did, we set up 2 accounts for 13-year-old users that were interested in popular gaming channels, just like regular run-of-the-mill gaming channels and videos that I think a lot of teenagers would watch themselves. And what we found was that within the recommendations that were sent to these accounts were a number of very problematic videos. For example, we find videos with very, very blatant themes of suicide and self-harm. We find videos that were related to the popular game Minecraft that had sexual content in the middle of it as well. And these were being recommended to very young users. And then the other investigation that we did, which also looked at the kind of recommendations sent to young users, we set up 2 accounts, one for a 13-year-old and the other for a 30-year-old male, so 2 male accounts. And these accounts had an interest in what we term male lifestyle gurus. So think of Joe Rogan, Jordan Peterson, these kind of, you know, very popular, influential people. And what we found was that there was actually very few differences in the content that was recommended to a 13-year-old and the content recommended to a 30-year-old, which meant that the young user was seeing content that was, you know, highly misogynistic, very anti-women. There was a lot of Andrew Tate content that was also recommended to these users. And Andrew Tate, for anyone who doesn't know, is a very influential misogynistic influencer who is currently on trial for charges related to sexual crimes. And he's actually been banned from YouTube, right? So what we find is that his content is still there and it's still being recommended to young users. So that was really, I think, the most prominent findings that we found.
Aoife, you know, considering that many young users may not have parental or guardian oversight when they create these accounts, what should YouTube be doing to make sure there's some better age verification and parental control?
Yeah, I mean, I think one of the most shocking things that we find is that when we were setting up these accounts, that YouTube doesn't ask for parental or guardian approval even to set up accounts for 13-year-olds. And our understanding of this is that this changes according to different countries. For example, I'm based in Ireland, and if you set up an account in Ireland for a 13-year-old, you do need parental or guardian approval to set up that account. But that doesn't seem to be the case in the U.S. YouTube also says, sorry.
No, go ahead. I'm sorry.
So YouTube also says that, you know, it takes certain measures to protect young users. It adds, you know, age restrictions on videos or content warnings on videos. But we saw essentially none of this really coming up in the recommendations for these young users. So it shows that YouTube is not making use of the tools that they say that they have as well to protect young users in that way. So there's a lot more that YouTube can do as regards to this, for sure.
You know, I'm gobsmacked, because what part of teen doesn't the algorithm understand? And I don't understand the nexus between an interest in gaming and self-harm and suicide. Why would it be channeling something like that to anybody, let alone a teenager?
Exactly. And that is a big question. And it's one that we don't necessarily have the answer to. This research allows us to see what is being recommended to users on YouTube, but it doesn't really allow us to understand why a lot of this content is being recommended. And the reason for that actually goes back to data access. So from the work that we do looking at kind of online harms, the platforms decide what kind of data that researchers can get access to. So we only have access to a very, very small amount of data. And as I say, we can understand what is being recommended, but we do not understand why. So it's YouTube, really, that holds the answers to those questions. And I think that, as you say, it is shocking. I don't think anyone would be happy knowing that their 13 or 14-year-old is going on YouTube to look at, you know, gaming videos, and suddenly a video pops up that looks like a gaming video, but which contains very blatant references to self-harm and suicide. I don't think anyone would be happy with that, right?
Or animated so again, porn.
Yes, exactly. You know, so yeah, again, as I say, it really shows that YouTube is really just not doing enough in the space.
Well, yeah, and they may be younger than 13 because there's no button or anything you have to push to prove that you're even 13 years old. So your findings, your conclusion is what?
The conclusion is, I suppose, that YouTube is not effectively using the tools that it has to protect young users. That and this kind of goes across a lot of social media platforms. A lot of them will come out and say, we are doing this, we are doing that to protect young users. But consistently, research comes out that proves that the platforms are not doing enough. So it really goes back to, I think everyone wants to protect children. And I know in the US, this is a bipartisan issue. And it is something that cuts across the political divide, which I think is very unique in the US context.
Yeah.
And I think that more needs to be done across the world, not just in the US, but across the world. I think we are beginning to realize more and more that the effect that social media is having on young users and the brain development of young users and the addictive nature of social media, something has to change.
Well, we all know there's this problem, but I believe that your research, academic papers, putting it down on paper will help us move forward.
Really quickly, Aoife, you know, the Surgeon General in this country has said that he believes that social media platforms should be labeled. Do you think that would be helpful, or do you think parents are already aware and just not exercising control? Do you think it would be effective?
I'm not sure what you mean by labeling. Could you maybe explain that?
It would be a digital warning that when you sign onto these accounts that there's harmful content.
Yeah, I mean, I think that, you know, content labels and things like that, they're, in my opinion, they're a little bit like a plaster on a gushing wound. I don't think they're actually going to make a huge amount of a difference. I mean, if you think back to when you were a 13-year-old, you put a content warning to stop you from watching something.
Right.
It made us want it more.
That's right. Yeah. I wanted that CD.
Exactly.
All right.
What this really comes back to is the algorithms that are powering these platforms. We know so little about these algorithms. We need to understand why people are being recommended this content. And if it's harmful content, we need to stop those algorithms from doing that.
Aoife Gallagher, author of this report, this important report from the Institute for Strategic Dialogue. Thank you so much for your work.
Thank you for having me.
Coming up on JR Morning, the news topics of the day, and of course, happy Juneteenth.